My name is John Walden. I welcome you to our Bible study. We're in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we shall try to cover the first 13 verses of this chapter in our study. It is not expedient, it is not the best thing for me, doubtless, to glory. The Apostle Paul was very hesitant about defending himself before these Corinthians, as we've seen in past studies. He had led them to the Lord, but in the meantime, men had come in who were teaching the law and had led them away from Paul and had even preached to them a different Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. And they were being misled, and the Spirit of God leads him now to prove to them that he is a true apostle. And so he has another proof. He has given us in chapter 11 the proof of his sufferings and his weakness. Now he turns from boasting of this to what is entirely of grace. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man, or literally, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful or not possible for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He does not want glory to himself. And when he begins to speak of revelations from the Lord, that is what God had taught him. In this case, he had done it miraculously by catching him up into the glory. And it's true for us substantially, because you and I are welcome into the holiest. The way into the holiest is now made perfect, and we too may hear the Word of God by means of the Scriptures. We can read, and the Spirit of God can lead us to the enjoyment of these things. And when we do learn from God, it is nothing for us to glory of. The only thing that we can glory in is in our sufferings for Christ. You can't glory about your salvation. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast of anything that the Lord has done in and through us. We can't boast of any of our doings, either before we were saved or since. We can only boast in our sufferings. Now the Apostle Paul has been led in the preceding chapter to tell us about a great many sufferings that we would not have known about otherwise. And so here he tells us about this wonderful experience, undoubtedly, at the time that he was stoned and left for dead. And he said, I'm not sure whether I was in the body or out of the body. And he tells us about this in order that it might be to God's glory and to the help of the people of God. And this is true, you know, of David. David killed a lion and a bear by the Lord's help, but he didn't say anything about it until the time came when it was for the Lord's glory and for the help of God's people to tell it. And so with Philip being caught away in Acts chapter 8. So it is grace that gives the blessing, and it is grace that keeps quiet until the right time to tell it, and it is grace that is presented, that presents it now for us. So Paul's humility brings an apology. He knows that these people despise his weakness, but he cares only for the glory of Christ. And so he begins to acknowledge in verse 7 that he went through a great trial after that he had had these revelations from the Lord, after the Lord had taught him these wonderful truths. He acknowledged that the Lord sent a thorn for his flesh to keep him from being exalted. Now, flesh is just as bad in Paul as it is in anyone else. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? Do I understand it fully? Now, as Satan caused Job suffering because he was proud, so Paul is caused some suffering, not because he was proud, but then in order that he might not become proud. Fellowship with God, earlier in this chapter, needed no body. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. If he was in the body, he didn't notice it. If he was out of the body, he didn't miss it. So fellowship with God is not a matter of physical experience. It's not a matter of emotions in the soul, but it's a matter of real spiritual fellowship. And if you have not been born again, if you do not have eternal life, you have had no fellowship with God and cannot have. Now, Paul knew that pride might come, and the Lord showed him this by sending him bodily weakness. Now, we don't like this. I don't like illness. I've had a great deal of it. I don't like weakness. Age now is combined with other things to make me feel my own inability many times. We don't enjoy this. But what it does do for us is what it did for Paul. It teaches us to lean on God's strength. Am I talking to someone just now who is feeling their weakness very keenly? Perhaps age or infirmity, or perhaps because of poverty or because of trials of one kind and another? Do you feel your weakness? Well, everything's going to be all right. Because if you furnish the weakness, God will furnish the strength. He says that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh to be taken away. I suppose he prayed three times because the Lord Jesus prayed three times in Gethsemane, and he was very much the Lord's servant, very much like him. But now, the Lord tells him that he is not going to take away the thorn in the flesh, but that his grace is sufficient. And Paul accepts and even glories in his weakness, so that God's power can now be perfected in his weakness. I can't say that I've reached the point where I can glory in tribulation, but I think I have learned something about its value. I think I've learned something about what he learned here. And knowing that God's strength is made perfect in weakness, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We want to be on top. We want to be strong. We want to be great. We want to be successful. But the Lord is asking us that we just put ourselves into his hands. But you say, if Paul had had faith, he would have been healed. No, you can't say that he was not a man of great faith, because he was. And neither can you say that Timothy did not have faith, because he had many infirmities, a stomach weakness for which he was told to drink a little wine and no longer water. And you can't say that Trophimus was a man of weak faith, because he had to be left at Miletus sick. And you can't say that a Christian who doesn't receive physical healing is not trusting God. You must leave this in God's hands. You must allow God to make the choice for you. Of course God can give you your health back. Of course God can do anything. But he has not promised to do all of these things for all of us. And it is cruel to Christians to tell them that the reason they are not healed is because they do not have faith. It may be that they're in the same category with Paul, and that it is much better for them to, in their weakness, learn the strength of Christ. Now he adds, "I have become a fool in glorying, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." The Corinthians should not have demanded proof of Paul's apostleship. They had already had these proofs. "The signs of an apostle were wrought in him among you," he said, "in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Just as the Lord Jesus proved himself to be the Messiah, by the sign gifts, the healings, and all of these things that he did. So the apostles proved themselves to be truly apostles by the signs. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 1 that the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The reason the Jews required signs was because the Old Testament taught them to look for these signs. And the Corinthians had seen the signs of an apostle wrought among them by Paul, and they should have realized that he was the true apostle. Now remember once again that he is not telling these things because he wants to make a name for himself, but because as an apostle he was teaching the Word of God. He was used of God to write a half of the books of the New Testament. And the authority of the Scriptures stands or falls with the authority of Paul as an apostle. And then he adds, "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except that it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong." He wants them to understand that he really loves them, and he wants them to know that he is concerned about them. And then he goes on to tell us, and we'll study this in the next lesson, how that he is going to come to them. And when he comes to them, he's going to ask for those who did not really belong to the Lord to give their proofs. He has given his, and he wants them to believe him because he is truly a one sent of God, an apostle to whom the Lord has given his word. Our Father, we thank thee for using this man of God, and we thank thee for the word of God that has been brought to us, and we thank thee that some of us have believed the message of the gospel and have been saved. We pray for others that this may be true for them and that Christ may be glorified in all. In his name, amen.